It is 14 and a half before 6 o'clock and waking up to 33 degrees. And for our friend Jason Cann's best 5 minutes of the day, things apparently got interesting Saturday after our breakfast at Randy's. Wow.
Yeah, they did, for sure. Yeah, we were driving down Claremont. We were going to go visit some friends' garage sale and witnessed a pretty significant accident on Claremont and Menominee. A car came blazing by us and launched into the air and ended up on its side, flames coming out of the car. So, yeah, it was very unnerving.
Wow. Everybody glad that you and your wife are okay, but that, you know, it happens out there, right? It doesn't matter what you're driving. I mean, this is in town. I mean, this isn't right. Even on the freeway. And you're seeing, you estimated, you said 60 to 70 miles an hour.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's kind of what I thought. A friend of mine, whose husband is a police officer, kind of described that it was probably faster than that based on what I was describing. And so, yeah, it's sometimes spooky out there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, breakfast seems like it was a long time ago, just Saturday morning.
Yeah, less than 48 hours ago.
I know it. So Peggy and I married 24 years today.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing. I didn't realize today was your anniversary. I knew it was coming up, but I didn't make the connection that it was today.
It's just part of what adds to October being the second best month, you know?
Or first. best month. Yes. Indeed.
8 days until your 50th, so.
That's correct. Not 50th anniversary, 50th birthday, for those who may have been confused by that.
Yeah, 25 years
Although
for you and Heather.
There are days where I feel like it could have been 50 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Heather is laughing behind me now as I say that, so.
I wrote up my card to Peggy today. I found a card that we'd had. I don't know. It had been downstairs. I'm like, okay, this is going to use this, and I wrote it out this morning, and basically it's like, I had no idea who you were when we got married 24 years ago. I feel like it's I love that. Actually, I was in a group last night and somebody referenced Tim Keller's The Meaning of Marriage. And I'm like, In closing, I said, let me say 24 years of marriage tomorrow. And there's a lot of younger people, a lot of single people. And I said, the line that I remember from Keller in that book, because I didn't read the whole thing, is just the idea that there is no marrying the right person because whoever you marry is going to change.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's wisdom, as Tim Keller often has.
And the funny line from that in our context is that my wife had always said she didn't want to live more than an hour away from her parents, and then we moved to Africa for 2 years.
A little more than an hour.
Yeah. All right, so people change. All right, we've got Romans. We got some business to take care of here today. I left Dawson, yeah. Anyhow, we got it mixed up a little bit, but it's Romans 7, verses 8b through 11. So help us out here.
Sure. Yeah, so it is, if there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law, but when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life and I died. So I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me.
All right. And from the Letters to the Beloved, your devotional commentary, you tackle it this way. When the law is not in effect, sin is dormant. Perhaps a metaphor will help you see this more clearly. A young child may have no desire to go into her parents' room and snoop around, but if her mother tells her, I do not want you going into our bedroom because I am wrapping your birthday presents in there, suddenly she desires to peek. No, interesting. Knowing the rules may stir your heart to break them. So it is with my law, which stirs rebellion and convicts you, leaving you believing you can obtain perfection on your own. However, sin takes every opportunity to twist the truth, deceiving you with false beauty. As in Snow White's tale, the witch's apple was tantalizing to the eyes, but it was filled with deadly poison.
Yeah, you know, for me, that last section there, the sin takes every opportunity to twist the truth, deceiving you with false beauty. You know, there's so many areas in which that seems to be the case, you know, whether it's false intimacy, whether it's the promise of a better life. You know, we often will choose to seek after those things that are ultimately harmful for us. And I think that's one of sin's greatest effects on us is that sort of deception.
Kind of fun having, I mean, in a devotional commentary, some of the examples you use, though. I mean, I think sometimes, I don't know, commentaries can feel kind of stodgy, but I feel like yours is colorful, so.
I hope so. Yeah. That's certainly part of what I was going for. I wanted to be able to connect with people. And
speaking of connecting, it's nice. We have a really good phone connection today. I hope and pray it's like this every day, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, look out. There's a lot of crazy drivers out there, so be careful. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right, there we go, WWIB. All right, so WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. A lot of times I'll bring some music underneath Drew Fralick from Michigan with me, the stand-up comedian pastor. But not today, Drew. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, not today because 24 years ago today, my wife and I tied the knot. I'm seeing, congratulations, by the way, Mike and Dr. Mike Fitzgerald and his wife Dorothy. Knew them when they were both single. They've been married 30 years. We have the same anniversary here, October 17th, so that's kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congrats. That's 30 years. Wow, that's impressive.
And you and your lovely wife have been married for how long?
We're almost coming up on 14.
Okay.
We're getting close.
Well, that's a lot.
We've been at it. We've been at it for a while, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little bit of audio here from the wedding, and I just thought, oh, it was quite a day, and an amazing officiant there that day, and just kind of some of the organ music. Here we go. Give it a listen. Everybody stood.
Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Ah, no, this was actually not our... This was Princess Bride.
Blessed arrangement.
Yeah, so anyhow, my mistake, so sorry about that.
Got the tapes mixed
up. Yeah.
I was, when they started talking, I was like, wow, that is a very thick Wisconsin accent. I've never heard that one before.
Right.
That must be up near the Canadian border.
Yeah, right, it is, yeah. No, that
fantastic.
Is Peggy. Peggy's favorite movie, and I mean, and certainly hers, but I would say I also embrace it as that. I mean, it's just a classic. And I think we saw Cary Elwes is going to be, what he does is he goes to different places, you know, larger cities, and he's going to be in Minneapolis later in November, like showing the movie and then answering questions. And we read the book, which was a great read. So a classic.
That's
so.
That's fantastic. Now, when you were like, I'm going to play some audio from my wedding.
Yeah.
I was a little bit like, what is, what is this segment going to be like? This is not quite what we planned.
Right.
Because there is those, like, you know, there are, like, those unexpected moments in a wedding.
Uh-huh.
I remember our wedding was on a beach in Florida, and we're standing up there. Now, of course, the beach is, like, packed with people. So you have all these random, like, you know, South Florida partying people in the background. And at one point during the ceremony, there was this seagull. I remember it very clearly. This seagull was flying by. And it had like a chicken wing or something, like a drumstick in its claws. And it dropped it right by where we were standing.
Wow.
I was like, huh, a half-eaten drumstick on your wedding day. What?
Some people,
what does that
some
mean?
People are really gifted at reading the message in that. You know, they see the divine in that, right? You know what I mean? So.
Like it's like, I mean, this is like almost straight out of the book of Ezekiel. Like a seagull will come and drop a half-eaten KFC drumstick on your wedding day. Return to me or something like that. You
know? A new understanding of the dry bones chapter. Yeah, right, for sure.
Yeah, the dry bones that have been deep fried or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
So there, when you told me you were going to play audio, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, is this going to be like America's Funniest Home Videos?
Right.
So, okay.
No, but you got to say, comedically, I mean, weddings do, and America's Funniest Home Videos, I mean, probably almost every week they could have had funny things from weddings because it's all so serious that when anything goofy or crazy happens, it just sets itself up, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, another one, I remember at my brother-in-law's wedding, I don't remember anything from the wedding except for it was in this big, like, lodge. And halfway through the ceremony, this bat fell down the chimney, like 5 feet behind the stage where they're getting married. And it's like that screensaver that's bouncing from corner to corner. Everyone's just watching this bat instead of paying attention, watching this bat come to life. So it's the tension.
Yeah.
The tension of will there be some gaffe or mess up? Kind of like makes it funny, I guess.
You have turned the direction from Make Us Laugh Monday. We still want people's jokes, but between I had been taking, you know, marriage advice or a marriage quote or how long you've been married. No, for the rest of the show, hey, it's Make Us Laugh Monday, but also give us a funny story, something funny that happened in your wedding or a wedding you've been to. That's much better. So thank you for redirecting the program.
There you go. Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Thank you, Drew. We'll talk to you next week. DrewFralick.com. Check him out. Weekend recap on the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB. Three different themes. One, working out Friday morning, even when you guys were probably doing the show, I think. I don't know, maybe a little later, but anyhow. And then again yesterday, that was good. Enjoying that, the YMCA in Eau Claire. Also, some bad football. Painful loss for the Badgers in double overtime on Saturday. And then, was that a football game the Packers played? That was rough yesterday. And
yeah.
Finally, and getting around Viking fans, my third theme is small groups. Two different small groups, morning and night at church yesterday. Two great books, but around a number of people from Minnesota, college students, Vikings fans. So that wasn't too pleasant.
Yeah. Well, so my weekend, it actually did start a little bit with some working out, too, and that led into more of what I did on Saturday. So on Saturday, typically I try to get out, get some fresh air, and it's about 3.5 miles my route, mostly walking, but about a mile of it I try to run. And it's interesting, I had almost zero motivation to do some things that needed to be done. It's winterizing, need to get the hoses cleaned up and pack up the trampoline and take the patio furniture away. And there are just a lot of things to be hauled and cleaned and the pool dumped out and all these different things, and I had zero motivation to do it. But it's interesting, a little thing called endorphins.
Uh-huh.
After I got back from that walk slash painful jog, I suddenly thought, you know what, I'm gonna get some things accomplished. And so I mean, worked out in the kind of the chilly fall air. My kids came out for a little bit to help, but I got a lot of things accomplished. And then able to reward myself with a little football, a little playoff baseball.
Yeah.
I did not take in a ton of the Badgers game because I had to run some errands, but there were some great football games on Saturday. So just bits and pieces here and there. So that was good. On Sunday, we had a wonderful speaker from a group called Reasons for Hope. His name is Carl Kirby. And basically what they're doing is saying, why have we abandoned science when we're talking about the creation narrative? What the Bible says is true. Everything that the Bible says is true is backed up by science. Let's engage scientifically with our world. And he's actually speaking tonight and tomorrow night, too, up in Rice Lake. I'd encourage you to go hear him. So I really, really enjoyed his speaking, his thoughtful presentation. And then we had him over at my parents' house for lunch. And God's mercy, because we had him over for lunch, I missed most of the Packers game.
There you go.
And so I did not get to see that until the painful end. So, yes, an enjoyable weekend, even though maybe I would have gone into it thinking, I'm just going to sit around and watch football all the time. The Lord had other plans, and it was actually a lot better for me that way.
There you go. My first joke this morning, I'm asking myself, is this a joke Caleb told before? But I'm going to go for it. We do usually three jokes a piece. It's one of our bigger challenges of the week, if you only knew. And when my wife was in Liberia recently, I believe she told me that she did try snail, but she was not a big fan of. You know, some people actually enjoy those. They must not like fast food. That's the joke.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. They're kind of slow. Snails are kind of
okay,
slow.
Okay, yeah, there we go. There we go. You know, Havel, if I worked in a used record store, I would tell every customer, no returns. All sales are vinyl.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So a man walks into a library and asks the librarian for books about paranoia. And she whispers, they're right behind you.
Oh, man. I do really like that one. Well, a mother texts her son and she says, hi, son. What do IDK, LY, and TTYL mean? He texts back, I don't know. Love you and talk to you later. The mom replies, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll just ask your sister.
That was great. I really liked it.
All right. Thank you, because that was probably the best I had today.
No, that was very good. And this is my last one. It's just, you know, would you like to hear a roof joke?
Yes.
Yeah, the first one's on the house.
Oh, man. And finally, just an observation. Why do they lock gas station bathrooms?
Why?
Are they afraid someone will clean them?
Yeah.
All right. Make us laugh Monday. It's Monday. It's Monday. Be nice to us. 715-396-1670. If you have a joke, we would love to hear it. In the meantime, we would love you to hear We the Kingdom, Miracle Power. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock, WWIB, We Are Family. Hopefully helping you crack just a little bit of a smile, even if it's through a groan.
The Wake Up Show on WWIB on a Make Us Laugh Monday. Again, my wife and I celebrating 24 years of wedded bliss. And if you've got a funny story about your own wedding or reception or somebody else's wedding, son or daughter, something like that, share it with us on this Make Us Laugh Monday, 396-1670, WWIB. All right, so apparently, Caleb, we've been eating chocolate all wrong. Is there a wrong way to eat chocolate?
Well, yeah, maybe just not eating enough of it.
Right. Oh, there's so much great chocolate, isn't there? Bye. Well, it is certainly a much-loved treat, and many of us have been eating it the wrong way, they say. According to food scientists, kind of a fun job, Natalie, she says, people often make blunders when gorging on the cocoa-based snack. Here are some tips.
Go ahead. First tip here about eating chocolate the right way, do not store it in the fridge. Store chocolate, she says, at 65 degrees to prevent oxidation, sugar bloom, and any transfer of odors.
Having said
I guess
that,
I wouldn't want my chocolate smelling like some of the things in my fridge.
I'm going to push back a little bit because some people, they take it and they like to put it in the freezer even.
Yes.
And then take it
out.
You
know what's awesome in the freezer? Peanut butter M&Ms.
Mm.
Because they don't actually get so hard that they break your teeth. They just get like a delightful chill to them. Also, those Girl Scout cookies with peanut butter and chocolate are fantastic in the freezer as well.
So take that, Miss Food Scientist. This is another of her tips, though. She says, let it melt. She's big on that. Don't chew. By letting it melt, you're allowing cocoa butter to coat your mouth, allowing you to experience all the flavors.
I don't have the patience to let it melt before chewing it. Again, from this food scientist, Natalie Albrandi, she says you've been eating chocolate wrong. Another tip, she says eat in small quantities. Eat up to 6 pieces of 4-gram portions to prevent overstimulation of the taste buds.
Yeah, speaking of my wife on our anniversary, Caleb, she's good at that. All right, the idea is just a little bit here,
just a little bit
there. Right, yeah. And so
then you get the taste of it, but not necessarily the extra caloric content.
Yeah,
there you go. At least a lot of it.
And one last one here on the right way to eat chocolate. Food scientist Natalie says, make it snappy. When chocolate snaps, it means that it's tempered correctly and has the right structure and quality.
So I'm just going to keep, you know, snapping it all. And if it doesn't sound snappy enough, I'm just going to eat the broken pieces so it doesn't go to waste and just keep going and going until I find it snappy enough. And that may take me through the whole bar. But you know what? Got to follow science.
Chocolate is good, Natalie. However it is consumed, I think. The Whip Wake Up Show, WWIB. Some hygiene tips that more people ought to know about.
The internet, courtesy of here on WWIB, some things they say, you know what? We know this. Everybody else should know it, too.
Yeah. So first of all, as I'm wearing my glasses, both of us are, for those with glasses, wipe them down at the end of every day, at least every part that touches your face.
That's interesting because I normally just wipe the lenses off, right, to make them clear, but didn't think about, again, that could get junk on them.
Right.
So hygiene tips from the internet. I did know this one. Brush your tongue when you're brushing your teeth. It will significantly reduce bad breath.
There you go. Good idea.
If you're plagued with halitosis, try it.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, twice a day. Also, wash your belly button in the shower.
There's no explanation for this. It just says do it. Hygiene tips. Speaking of washing, wash behind your ears. Isn't that something that they always say, you know, moms do? You know,
it was Mrs. Cleaver on Leave It to Beaver, especially to Wally, it seems like, was that advice. Also, clean your phone at the end of the day.
I think that would be interesting as well, too, because not only would it, so get all the scummy and stuff off your phone, but also if you clean it, then you would think maybe you would set it down and then kind of get into your going to sleep routine. So maybe that would be helpful as well to just leave the phone for a little bit so you're not overstimulated as you try to go to bed.
All these extra things at night, washing my glasses.
I know.
And my phone.
What happens to the dads like me that just fall asleep in the lazy boy?
Yeah.
And finally, one more hygiene tips more people should know about. According to the interwebs, if you get sick, change your toothbrush. That actually makes perfect sense. And that seems glaringly obvious. And I didn't even think about that.
Okay. So all you people fighting a cold, when you get better, put your toothbrush.